Give me just a couple seconds. I got to set up shop here. Open my toolbox. Right here. I want to start out by letting you know what the sermon is about. And that is, choose your words wisely. Say it from the heart. At this moment, I want to acknowledge a few people that have been instrumental in my life that I see instantaneously out there in the audience right now. Ruth Chandler, number one, who wrote the programs for my son's funeral. I've never gotten a chance to really tell you just how much I appreciate you and how much you're valued and just what you meant to my life in doing that and how much that affected me. You're not getting away either, lady. Jenny Beatty. Wow. We've blazed some trails, gone knocking on some doors after people, brought a few people, shook them straight. It was Ralph who taught me about being the sheriff and what being a sheriff is and what being a sheriff, where being a sheriff comes from. And I just want you to know, Ralph, Jenny, I've got the badge right here. For the first time, 64 years in my life, I am now starting to see. Wow. And I don't want to say necessarily the best, but I remember several years ago on a very cold day in December, it was sub-zero temperatures, and we were putting my brother in the ground saying goodbye to him. And as the procession drove up to the Green Bluff Cemetery, we noticed there was this truck sitting there. My brother, who's that? And I went, that's Alex J. Hay. I don't have to say. Thank you. I don't have to say any more than that. Thank you, Alex. You're my mentor. I love you and Christy very much. Christy's had to knock me upside the head a few times. I want to thank you. When anybody knocks you upside the head out of love, or they talk to you, or they come to you like this in heart, and they're looking you eye to eye, and they're saying it in the here and now, and it's coming from the heart, take the lumps. You'll thank them later. You might be mad at them then, but that's okay. Take the lumps. Again, I said that the sermon was choose your words wisely, say it from the heart. I think it's important when we start to know when we choose our words wisely, we need to have something to draw from. You know, if you've got an empty bank and you don't have anything to draw from, how are you to? You got to make a deposit, and you got to make a deposit in the spirit. It's like your cell phones in the morning, man. There's not one of us that don't go to bed without plugging our cell phone in. We need to plug our spirit in like that, too. If we want the words to speak wisely and to say from the heart, this is what we have to do. We have to plug in daily. Satan loves it when we get skating around. I loved your example today. Now I'm having a ball moment. Glenn, thank you. I loved your example about football because that's always been one of my big anchors is football. So I want to thank you for that. Opened up to Ephesians. I want you to know what you're blessed with. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him. This part, see what happens when you start, when you first wake up, this is what happens. It comes to a whole different dimension. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. You can't do that if you don't have anything in your spirit, in your spiritual bank. You got to make your deposit in your spiritual bank. I hear all the time, well, I can't. I'm getting beaten down by life, man. I'm getting beaten down by my finances, my job. There's not a one of us in here that probably doesn't have a basement full of skeletons that we're not afraid, that we're afraid to face. We do. And Satan wants us to think that this world here is it. We're being lied to, okay? It's time that we look at the truth. I'm going to read to you a little thing from the biggest book I got at home. You are nature's greatest miracle. Your brain is capable of making and storing enough connections and information that the total number would be expressed by a 1 followed by 6.5 million miles of zeros. That's a lot of zeros. That's stored up here, folks. Remember, before the foundations of the earth, right? Now, how big is that number? Well, this 6.5 million miles of zero is a number that would stretch from around the earth to the moon and back 14 times. Gives you kind of a picture. If we're having troubles looking at it, well, just, I'm nothing. Like I used to look at myself, I was nothing. I'm somebody. God made me. I'm somebody. And we're all somebody. And then I wanted to share a quote from Albert Einstein. He said, "We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them." And with all that, here we go. The examples I'm going to use, I think my examples are what I've lived. And how God has blessed me through that. Conversation about different perspectives can be very enlightening, even energizing. But it's easy to act in a self-centered, quick-tempered, critical, or easily offended way when there's a disagreement. Too often, we defend our lives, or our views, excuse me, rather than listen and try to understand another's way of thinking. I'm guilty of that. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty of that. Oftentimes, I'm so worried about loading up on what I'm going to say that I'm not listening to the other person. That's Satan. Take the time to listen. We're all in this room for a reason together. Take the time to listen. If somebody taps you on the shoulder or wants to talk, take time to listen. If we allow anger or resentment to creep in, we're in danger of destroying a relationship for the sake of winning an argument. And I'll go even further to say we're not only in danger of destroying a relationship for the sake of an argument, we could quite possibly lose a soul to Christ. And that's what we're all here for anyway, right? That's what we were put His honor, His praise, His kingdom agenda. That's what we're here for. So when you're at that heated moment with somebody, just take a couple seconds and a deep breath, and really, would Jesus say that? Would Jesus know? No, I don't think Jesus would. Alex gave an example a while back in a Bible study, and I loved it, about the Samaritan lady, how Jesus engaged the Samaritan lady. It wasn't like, hey, yo, babe. He didn't say anything like that. It wasn't, that's not Jesus. So let's be careful with our speech when we talk to other people, how we talk to other people. When we act like this is what the scary part is, because it happens so subtly. It's like a shimmer. It's like you can blink. We are letting our flesh control us instead of walking in the Spirit, and the relationship suffers. The Lord gives us a new, righteous nature at the moment of salvation. But we still live in fallen human bodies. We will always, let me repeat that, we will always have an internal battle with the flesh. That's good news, though. You know why? Because when you go through your battles, man, mighty is the Lord. Man, you go through your battles can turn into your greatest blessings. If you allow God and you choose your words wisely, even when you're talking to God, choose your words wisely. Be careful what you say or how you say it, what you pray, how you pray. Make sure it's in the heart. Make sure it's real. As you look at the way you respond to others, what's more apparent? The fruit of the Spirit or the deeds of the flesh? And I have a scripture here I wanted to add to that. There it is. So, what's more apparent in us, the fruit of the Spirit or the deeds of the flesh? Psalms 51:10 says, create in me, God, create in, excuse me, let me try that again. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The contrast between the two is seen in Galatians 5:19-23. The deeds of the flesh include hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts, anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions. Let's order us up a whole heap of that, like we don't have enough of that out there already, right? We're His light. So our words must even to ourselves. I want to think in terms of how we talk to ourselves, too. What kind of messages do we send ourselves? I already said that, excuse me. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. And self-control. I want a double order of that. Much has been written and said on how to have great relationships. But until we deal with the issues in our own hearts, root problems will always remain. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. I think there's beginning of all wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I think there's two kinds of fears you can have. I believe the first fear is the fear of a lot of people that are running around out there now. They fear the Lord, they don't know the Lord, they don't want to know the Lord, because that would cause them to stop and take a look at themselves. And nobody likes to do that nowadays except us Christians, right? At least I hope we're looking at ourselves. So what does it take to give, my mouth is getting dry and I left my water cup back there. So what does God say it takes to give, one more time. So what does God say it takes to live in peace with one another? Romans 14:19 tells us to pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. Paul clarifies how to do this in Ephesians. God bless you, Alex. Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you. That helped. Romans 14:19 tells us to pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. Paul clarifies how to do this in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I can't begin to tell you how many people have walked with me, and I've probably have caused them great pains and headaches. But that's what you do. When someone calls and you're needed, are we ready to step up for God? Are we bearing one another's burdens in that manner? Bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. First of all, there's 4 points I'm going to make. First of all, to develop and maintain great relationships, not only with other people, but this is with a great relationship with yourself. Because, you know, we can fool anybody during the day. But when we go home at night and we're looking in the mirror, can't do it then. That's gut check time. First of all, to develop and maintain great relationships, you need a pure heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God." Matthew 5:8. Purity of heart involves being authentic. And I said I was going to be using real live answers. Things changed for me when I got down on my hands and knees, when I couldn't take it anymore, when my yoke was so heavy, and I cried out to God. I said, "God, I need your help. Lord, I can't do this." God requires you to have a broken heart. That's where he does his finest work. I can tell you that personally. And this begins with honesty before God. Being authentic begins with being honest before God. Prayer for many people And I guess I should have gone into this a little better, so I apologize for that. But I think being honest for God, praying when you pray, doesn't have to be fancy. It has to be from your heart. You got to want to get out of that area that you're in. Are we tired of sitting in internal doubt that we have deep, maybe from something that was said to us from years in our past? Maybe someone said something to you and it has stuck with you all this. Things like, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, you're retarded. This is stuff that was said to me. I said my examples were real. This happened to me. The state of Oregon said I wasn't smart, and I've carried this for years. Alex told me to give it to God. When I really finally gave it to God, guess what? It changed. It's amazing when you give things to God like that. When you open up that, when you run to your sin and you embrace your sin in the name of the Lord, it doesn't stand a chance. Only perfect love can drive out sin. And that's why prayer for many is a stale practice. Because there's no raw conversation with God. Respectful, but raw. And what I mean by raw, without throwing a screaming fit, showing you all like that, it's about getting in touch with what's really bugging you. Okay? Like being adopted and your son dying and, you know, all these things and your part in it and the weight just keeps getting piled on and just getting heavier. Man, you don't have to do that. You don't have to carry that. You can go to God in prayer and all it has to be. And believe it with all your heart. Like it's happened. God will give you three answers. Yes, no, or maybe. Two of them you have to wait for. One of them is very definitive. And there's one big point. When you're walking with God and you're following God and you're trying your best and you're stumbling, when he tells you something and you go, say what? I lost my point, excuse me. Anyway, God respectful but raw. We must go to God with our hearts completely open because we're not hiding anything from him. He knows everything already. So come clean with him about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the point I was trying to draw is that when you go to God and he tells you no, you got to listen to him. Because he knows what's best for you. Because I can already tell you, going the way I was going, it was me before God. See, there's a natural order to things. God, wife, children, you. He knows everything. So come clean with him about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you'll see him operating powerfully in your life. Second, a spirit of love must be active and evident in your life. Since you purified yourselves in obedience to the truth, for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters, fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22. How can those who were formerly slaves to sin be holy? Fear the Lord and love others. because they have been born again. If you believe Jesus Christ, you receive the seed, the divine nature that is imperishable. God can see that, only God can see that soul, change that soul, and reserve that soul. If a person has true saving faith and is justified, God will preserve that person. Second Peter 1:21, because no prophecy came by the will of man, instead men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Which is why we need to stay connected. You said it during Bible study about this is great. Thank you. In the Word. Got to stay connected. Got to be in the Word. It's on our phones. It's on our signs. You can take the Lord with you wherever you go. You can hum tunes, snap your finger, do a little jiggy jig if you got to. Whatever it takes. Third, you need patience. It's one of the Christian graces mentioned in Colossians 3:12. As those who have chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I want us to look at that as dirty laundry, internal dirty laundry, okay? You've just removed all this from your insides, right? You've confessed your sins. Now you've put on kindness, humility, and gentleness. That's your new clothing, okay? I think sometimes we worry about dressing too much from the outside in. I think it's time we maybe ought to start, at least for me personally, start worrying about how I dress from the inside out. So again, if the qualities in 3:12 comprise the Christian's new wardrobe, love is the overcoat. Love covers you. When you got all this going on the inside of you, the only thing that can come out of you on the outside is love. Love for service for God and for what you can do for somebody else. Fourth, I'm just about done. I'm sorry it's taken me so long. I guess my hands were a little sweatier than I thought, and I do apologize for that. And I want to thank everybody for their patience. Fourth, you must have a forgiving spirit. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God has forgiven you. My ex-wife and I are good friends. Yeah, my ex-wife and I are good friends. And it's an enduring friendship, and I'm glad we are. And I'm glad we had to walk through the hell that we had to walk through to get that friendship, because mighty is the name of the Lord. And I say that because April 6th, her husband passed away. 5 days before he passed away, Felicia called me, said, "Robert, will you come over here? Bill's mom and dad were there. Bill's dad was beside himself. Bill's mom was crying. Now, had I let animosity through those years, had I let dissension, well, she did this to me, and she did that to me, and he did this to me, and that to me, if we would have held on to that, what would have happened? I mean, fast forward this round. I had no idea if Bill was saved or not, but I didn't wait to ask. When she called,
was at was God was talking. God wasn't talking to me. God was poking me in the behind saying, boy, you messed something up. I went. Didn't even think twice about it. I walked in. I told Connie, Bill's mom, I said, that's not Bill. Bill's not there right now. Bill's in a one-on-one with God. Now I need to go talk to Bill real quick. I said, Bill, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord and Savior, that he arose, Savior of heaven and earth, creator of heaven and earth, that he died and he arose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father? Bill and I were holding hands. Okay, let me set this up. I'm with Bill, her husband, my ex-wife, her husband. I'm holding Bill's hand. And what happened next was utterly amazing. Utterly amazing. The power and the warmth. And he said, this man can utter sounds. That was it, and he went, yes. Praise the Lord. 5 days later, he passed away. But the fact is that had I let all those words that were said between us before get in the way, there would have been a soul lost. I would not have responded like that. So we need to look at this really carefully. When we go to people, when we talk to people, when we talk to ourselves, and whatever the situation is, we need to be kind to ourselves and one another. And it's with that, I would plead with you, don't let death be your final decision. Don't let death make that decision for you. Make your decision while you're living in the living, sovereign Creator, Jesus Christ, Master, Savior, Redeemer. Before we sing for the invitation, finally, I want us to put our hand in the hand of the man who calmed the water. And I want you to put your hand and me to put my hand in the man who calmed the seas. And I guarantee if you take a good look at yourself, you will look at others differently by putting your hands in the hands of the man from Galilee. Thank you.